Let us resume our Bible study tonight in the book of Deuteronomy. It seems like an odd shift to go from Hebrews to Deuteronomy, but it's really not. In Hebrews, Paul kept saying, follow the Torah. And somebody here a little while ago said, well, what is it? So let's go back and look. Deuteronomy is a boiling down of the entire Torah to one book. And I'm going to give you my commentary on it. Then I want to read from the commentary from the Tanakh, which is the Jewish point of view. So let me start with my words first, most of which I borrowed from other people, but not word for word. Deuteronomy is Moses' last chance to preach to the children of Israel. In the first four books, he's recording what the Lord told him. In Deuteronomy, he takes a different approach, and he is preaching to the people. He uses strong words of rebuke against their cavalier attitudes. They were in captivity in Egypt, crying out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them with the 10 plagues, right, with a mighty hand. He brought them through the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, the Yam Suf, by dividing the waters, congealing the waters, and Israel went through on dry land. Then when Pharaoh's soldiers came into the waters closed over them and drowned Pharaoh and his soldiers. Why didn't the soldiers come into the water sooner? Because the Lord himself blocked the soldiers with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day, and the soldiers couldn't come through it. He fed them with manna in the wilderness. He gave them water to drink out of the rock. He shepherded them for 40 years. And what did they do? They sinned at every opportunity. And Moses knows that if they sinned against God with him physically present and doing great miracles on a daily basis, that when they come into the promised land and they're comfortable and wealthy, he knows they're going to turn against the Lord. And the Lord's told them the consequences of rebellion against him. And if they could sin so badly while the Lord performed miracles in their midst, what must they do to avoid sinning when they lived among pagans without leaders as strong as Moses and Aaron? So Deuteronomy includes what we call the Ten Commandments. God does not call them that. Christian theologians call them the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they want to make it sound like that's all there are. But it's not, as we're going to find. What does the Bible call them?
Sayings.
The 10 words or the 10 sayings. Only one of many. Not only does it contain what we call the 10 commandments or the Decalogue, but also the civil and criminal laws, but not the ritual laws of the tabernacle, because the general people, they're not going to build the tabernacle. It's already been built. They're not going to minister in the tabernacle. Only the Levites and the priests are going to do that. And that's already written for them in Leviticus and other places. So it's what the people need to hear that they need to do and take personal responsibility for. And the book of Deuteronomy is written to be so simple that it can be read to the people once every 7 years, and the people will understand it. Deuteronomy does not require a theology degree to understand it. It's written in common language for common people. And every king was required to, God bless you, write a copy of Deuteronomy himself so that he would know the word of the Lord and take it to heart. So Moses does not just repeat the Torah. He describes it, he explains it, and he tries to reinforce the most essential elements of the revelation of God at Mount Sinai and why it's so important for the people to observe it. Why does he do this? Because the men who are at Mount Sinai are almost all dead, right? Two exceptions other than Moses, and he's going to be dead in a minute. Joshua and Caleb. All the other men who are of adult age at Mount Sinai have died. So Moses repeatedly exhorts the people to obey the Torah, promising blessings for obedience and judgment for disobedience. Higher criticism, and I put it in quotes, you know what I mean by that? Modern theology scholars deny that Moses wrote it, because it contains prophecies that they claim could only be recorded after they happened. Higher criticism says God can't reveal the future. He can only reveal the past. But Yeshua quotes from Deuteronomy and asserts that Moses wrote it. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, Luke chapter 4, verses 4, 8, and 12, Mark chapter 10, verse 4, Mark chapter 12, verse 19, Luke also says Moses authored it in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and chapter 7, verse 37. Do I expect you to get all those down? No. The mere fact that Yeshua quotes from Deuteronomy and says Moses wrote it should tell us what? Moses wrote it. The way I like to always put it is, if the Lord said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Deuteronomy covers a period of 37 days from the beginning of its writing to its end. 37 days. Contains seven sermons. Seven sermons. Israel is camped on the east side of the Jordan River, waiting to go into the promised land, and Moses isn't going to let them go until he blisters them good. The normal word for said in the Bible is amar. It's a nice, gentle verb. What you see all over Deuteronomy is debar, which isn't just gently said, but he's going to forcefully tell them. Like the father shaking the finger in the face of the children, saying, "Now you listen to me, or we're going to the woodshed." And Deuteronomy ends with the death and burial of Moses, of course. Now let me read to you from my stone edition Tanakh, its commentary on Deuteronomy, which in Hebrew is called Devarim, which means words. Words. It says, the Talmud refers to Deuteronomy as Mishnah Torah, commonly translated as repetition or review of the Torah or explanation of the Torah. The entire book was said by Moses to the nation during the last 5 weeks of his life. In effect, it was the prophet's last will and testament to his beloved people, in which he warned them of potential pitfalls and inspired them to rise to their calling. Since Deuteronomy does not review all the commandments and narratives of the preceding 40 years, the question arises on what basis the commandments and narratives contained in this book were chosen. Goes on to say, Rabbi Samuel Raphael Hirsch explains that the book of Deuteronomy was Israel's introduction to the new life they would have to forge in Eretz Yisrael, or the land of Israel. They would plow, plant, and harvest. They would establish courts and a government. They would forge social relationships and the means to provide for and protect the needy and helpless. They would need strong faith and self-discipline to avoid the snares and temptations of pagan neighbors and false prophets. To stress these laws and values and to exhort Israel to be strong was the function of this book, with its laws and Moses' appeal to the conscience of the people. Deuteronomy is not merely a review of the previous four books of the Torah. True, Moses spent the final weeks of his life reviewing and teaching all the laws in the entire history of Israel, but the text of the book of Deuteronomy records only those that were relevant for Israel's new life in its land. Deuteronomy is unique in another way, as explained by the Vilna Gaon, which means he's a real genius. The first four books were heard directly from the mouth of the Holy One, blessed is he, through the throat of Moses. Not so Deuteronomy. Israel heard the words of this book the same way they heard the words of the prophets who came after Moses. God would speak to the prophet on one day, and on a later day, he would go and make the vision known to Israel. Accordingly, at the time the prophet spoke to the people, the word of God had already been removed from him. That is, they did not hear God's word directly. They heard the prophet's comprehension of it, So too, the book of Deuteronomy was heard from the mouth of Moses. And what all that is meaning to say is, the Ten Commandments, they heard from the mouth of God. Then they said, Lord, don't speak to us anymore. Go tell the rest of Moses and he'll tell us. So in Deuteronomy, Moses summarizes that which God gave him to deliver to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You ready? These are the words. That's why Deuteronomy is Devarim in Hebrew, because the words. These are the words which Moses spoke. This is the word Deber, not Amar. So he didn't just softly speak to the people. He's stomping his foot. He's beating the podium. He's shaking a fist. He's shaking a finger, saying, listen to me. Moses spoke to all Israel. Why does he emphasize all Israel? Does he mean just the physical descendants of Jacob? Or does it include the mixed multitude? The answer is the latter. It includes the mixed multitude. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. For some reason, people tend to think the great mixed multitude came out of Egypt with Israel, came to Mount Sinai, and they said, oh, we don't have to listen to any of this. We can do whatever we want to. It's only the Jewish people that have to do these things. Not so. Exodus 12, verse 38. Verse 38. A mixed multitude went up with them also, in flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. So the Bible clearly tells us that besides the physical descendants of Israel, there was a great mixed multitude that went up out of Egypt with them because they put blood upon their doorposts and lintel because they believed the word of the Lord God. And from the time they come out of Egypt, there is not a distinction between the children of Israel that are physically born and the mixed multitude that are grafted in. It's like Romans chapter 11, where the Gentile believers are grafted into Israel. So back to Deuteronomy 1:1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan. That's the east side in what is today the nation of Jordan. In the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazrot, and Dizahab. Why is that important? Verse 2. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In other words, they could have traveled from Mount Sinai to where they're hearing Moses speak in 11 days. How long did it take them? Well, actually 38 years from the time they started journeying, 40 years total. So they could have done in 2 weeks or less what took them 40 years. So why did they wander for 40 years? It was a time of testing. They did not have faith in God, and God said, we'll see whether they'll follow me or whether they weren't. And everyone who was an adult male at Mount Sinai died before Israel went into the promised land except for two, Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who gave the good report and said the Lord God can do anything. Why does Moses start with that? He's like the papa saying, you could have been here 38 years ago. Why have you been wandering in a wilderness for 38 years? Because you were stupid. You didn't have faith. You wouldn't listen to the Lord. And now I'm going to send you off into the promised land. You're going to sin again. Well, you're going to hear it from me first. Don't do it. Okay. Goes on to say, verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, that's from the time they left Egypt, they stayed at Mount Sinai for two and then wandered for 38. Came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month on the first day of the month that Moses spoke, again that word deber, he's stomping on the podium to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. So not the ones that are particularly for the priests, but the ones that are for all the people. Verse 4, after he who? The Lord. Had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. We need to go back and look at those stories. There's a reason that Moses is emphasizing those. Yes, ma'am.
How do you spell Debir, and you say it means
Debir is D-I-B-E-R. Debir means spoke, but it spoke with strong emotions. How do you speak to your children after they've done something really bad? Do you speak gently and softly, or do you? Yeah, he's on their case.
What's the Hebrew spelling?
What's that?
What's the Hebrew spelling?
Hebrew spelling is the word devar, but with the vowels hirek and sere. So dalet, hirek, bait, sere, resh, debir. I could have said just as it sounds, but that wouldn't have been helpful. Yeah. But you know what? We've come to the end of our time for tonight. So we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, looking at the death of Sihon and Og, and why it's important to Moses to point this out to the people right away. Let me give you a hint for next week. When you come to Sihon and Og, you're talking about giants. What did the 10 of the 12 spies fear in the land? The giants. We can't do it. God can't do it. And Moses says, remember, you said you couldn't and God couldn't. God did. So keep that in mind as you come into the land. But we have hit the 8 o'clock hour, so we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 4.